Philadelphia-based Comcast has officially killed its $45 billion plan to merge with Time Warner Cable. The announcement came after regulators indicated the deal would hand Comcast too much power in the internet broadband market. Analyst Harold Feld of the consumer advocacy group Public Knowledge says Comcast has grown enormous from these kinds of acquisitions. And every time, he says, it pays for the deals by raising prices on customers.
You know, when you have two companies that suck and you put them together, it's not like they suck less, they suck more. And in fact, it's exponential, so it becomes suckage squared.
Joining us now is Kevin Werbach, Associate Professor of Legal Studies and Business Ethics at Wharton. Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
So if the acquisition had been successful, it would have affected an enormous number of Americans.
Well, this is the largest cable company, potentially buying the second largest cable company and creating by far the largest broadband access provider in the U.S. So certainly it would have affected a large number of Americans directly as customers of these two companies. But in terms of shaping the marketplace for all these services, it would have an effect that in some ways reaches all Americans. On the other hand, this deal gets terminated, the companies walk away. It's not that anything is radically different in the marketplace than it was before. Comcast is still the largest provider of those services. It's still in a very strong market position today. So I think that the deal certainly was very important. There were certainly legitimate reasons for concern, but I don't think we'll see dramatic shifts as a result of the deal falling apart.
If the acquisition had proceeded, how would this have affected those who provide online content and streaming services? If you could get into that a little bit for us.
Well, the companies that provide things like online video streaming were concerned that a merged Comcast Time Warner would have too much power. They would demand too high a price potentially, or they would, in a case like cable, where the money flows to the content providers, that they would pay too little for access to the programming. There also was concern that what we're seeing is finally the rise of what's called over-the-top video, where you no longer necessarily need to buy the full cable package of hundreds of channels, even if you don't use them, that we're moving to more of a world where if you want HBO content online, you pay for a service like HBO Go. If you want sports content, maybe you'll pay for that. And the concern was that a more powerful Comcast Time Warner would have a stronger ability to stand in the way of that kind of transition happening in the market.
Do you see anything else like this on the horizon, any other potential mergers of this magnitude?
We may not see anything quite of this scale because we've already had so much consolidation in the network markets that there really are only a few very large companies left, and most of them are not in situations where it would make sense for them as a business to combine, or there are situations like, for example, when AT&T tried to buy T-Mobile, where they do run afoul of antitrust concerns.
Okay. Kevin Werbach, Associate Professor of Legal Studies and Business Ethics at Wharton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Joining us now is Heather Lamar, Assistant Professor at Temple University School of Media and Communication. Hello, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
Well, so first, of great concern was how a merger between the two largest cable giants in this country would have affected the public. If the merger had gone through, what would have been the ramifications, in your opinion?
Well, I think the biggest concern for people would be that the continued consolidation limits access or freedom of choice, especially to streaming technologies and shows that are exclusively streamed nowadays, which is very important in the under 30 market. And then again, of course, rising prices. But I think limited access and rising prices. There's also a secondary concern with customer service issues because Comcast and Time Warner have sort of been plagued with bad customer service reputations for the last several years anyway.
Heather, in your bio, it says you're interested in the role emergent and alternative media play in shaping attitudes, opinions, and behaviors in the public. If you were to have such a giant entity controlling access to the internet, for I've read as much as 40% of the public, how does that shape the accessibility of alternative media?
Well, it could go either way, right? It just depends on what the business strategy becomes. The biggest threat is that it would increase access to media that Comcast either has a financial interest in or has some kind of a political interest in, or even a socio-political interest in. The other way it could go, though, is that it could create all kinds of opportunities for new content creation. I think, though, that history has shown us that these large mergers and these acquisitions and just the overall movement to conglomerate media, it has actually hurt access in ways that aren't necessarily customer-friendly and go against sort of the whole entire idea of open access in the Internet age.
Okay. Thank you so much, Heather Lamar, Assistant Professor at Temple University School of Media and Communication.